Welcome to the Cat Clayton Mysteries. Do you enjoy mystery novels? Are you in the mood for some small town shenanigans? Or maybe you're on a road trip and looking for something to listen to. Either way, I am glad that you've tuned in. Think Murder, She Wrote, mixed with Legally Blonde in small town Texas. So, sharpen those sleuthing skills and let's solve some mysteries. Try to say that 5 times real fast. Oh, and a disclaimer. Like the dog in the books, my Chihuahua, Cuff, likes to be heard. And since he sits in my lap while I record, you may hear occasional puppy whining, a yip, or other doggy noises. Now, get cozy and let me tell you a few stories. Welcome back to the Cat Clayton Mysteries. We left off last week with Chapter 10, when Nick kicks Steely out of his house. Where does she go? Let's find out. How to Leash a Thief, a Steely and Cuff Mystery, Book 1, Chapter 11. Over a stiff glass of rum and coke, I rehashed the story word for word to my pop. The sweet liquid concoction warmed my insides. If I had disappointed Pop, he gave me no sign. He heard me out and offered his condolences. No rants, no scolding, no tearing into me because I'd meddled or been shot at. He only listened and offered me support and a shoulder to cry on. He was exactly what I needed at the moment. Tucked into my old bed, I glanced around. The adolescent purple and black decor still adorned the room. Softball trophies and academic awards decorated the shelves and the walls. I plugged in my fairy nightlight, grabbed a stuffed bear from the foot of my bed, and drifted to sleep, listening to Cuff serenading me a lullaby. My terrible, awful night had left me in a zombie mode. "Hey," Daniel said and snapped his fingers as he breezed past me pouting at the front counter of the shop. "You can't sit around all day feeling sorry for yourself. We've got other things to worry about, like keeping you alive and off the suspect list. And how will we deal with the slew of cancellations today?" Earlier, I'd filled Daniel in on the dismal events of the night before. So far, he had had little to say about it, but I knew it was coming. Sitting on the stool, I buried my face in my hands. I couldn't even think about anything besides my life unraveling at the moment. "Steely Sue," he said, his voice kind and calm. "Did you hear me?" Cuff wiggled around in my lap.
"You are crushing me, Chiquita."
I straightened up and looked Daniel square in the face. "My relationship is a total disaster." "I'm sure Nick'll come around. But if he doesn't, it's his loss," Daniel said, shrugging. My left eyelid began twitching. "No, I've really done it this time. He wouldn't even hear me out." I began opening the drawers at the counter, searching for something sweet. Each one I found empty of anything resembling sugar, I slammed closed. "What are you looking for?" Daniel asked.
"I don't know. Chocolate? A lump of sugar? Pie would be great. But Bliss is closed."
Daniel rolled his eyes. "Pie later, drama queen. I'm sure once Nick calms down, he'll call you. But you're missing what's most important here. The cops have you on their radar, and there's a killer on the loose who's already sent you a warning." "Two warnings, but who's really counting?" I thought, staring out the front window. I wanted to shrivel up and die. The love of my life broke up with me.
"He is not the love of your life. And remember, there are plenty more dog biscuits in the box where he came from."
"Well, now you think you're some kind of love guru on relationships?" I asked, nudging Cuff. Daniel studied me with wide blue eyes. Steely, you okay?" I shrugged. "Look," he said, taking a broom out of the utility closet and sweeping up the dog hair. "I can see you're in no mood to talk strategy right now. You need to clear your head first. Couples have disagreements. It'll blow over. Until then,
A disagreement? This was not a typical spat. It seemed so... I struggled finding the word. Final! My voice shrieked like a mouse with its tail caught in a trap. All right. Sighing, Daniel's eyes fluttered in frustration. Get your panties out of a wad. Enough whining. Nick isn't always Prince Charming. Why don't you go run your errands now? Sheesh, no sense moping around here. When you get back, we'll put our heads together. Daniel was the only man on the planet who could accuse me of my panties being in a wad. Anyone else would have ended up with my fist under his chin. Fine. I gathered cuff and strode out the back door. I almost collided with Mr. Peters. Oh, what are you doing back here, Mr. Peters? He spun around. Oh, I seem to have misplaced one of my best hammers. I thought maybe I left it in here when I replaced that lock of yours. Sweat dripped down the sides of his face. A hammer? Like the one I found by Mrs. Shermack's body? Well, why didn't you just come to the front door? He shoved his hands in his pockets. Well, first I looked around the back door area and here out on the ground. I was on my way to the front of the shop to ask you and Daniel. His eyes darted around the alleyway. So, did I leave it here? Your hammer? No, I said, unsure if I should mention the police took it as evidence. Mr. Peters was grumpy, but he wouldn't hurt anyone. Was someone trying to frame him by planting his hammer at the scene? Shrugging, Mr. Peters glanced around the back parking lot. Another sweat droplet raced down his hairline and disappeared into the neck of his white T-shirt. Well, I best be getting back to the store. Good day, Miss Steely. He hurried off, nearly running into the brick wall as he rounded the corner. Well, this situation was getting crazier by the minute. I drove in senseless circles around town before deciding to stop at the city park for some fresh air. I rolled the bug into a parking spot and climbed out and stretched. The sunshine was medicine to my mind, lessening my stress level.
Chiquita, I know you're feeling the whole sunshine medicine thing, but can we find a tree? I gotta take a whiz.
Letting Cuff lead the way, I followed him into the small park's entrance. He lifted his leg on every tree he passed. Hard to believe the little guy had so much in him.
I can't help it. There's so many trees.
I planted myself on the first bench available, leaned back, and contemplated my situation. The giant oak shading the bench whispered in the gentle hot breeze. Long, arching branches dipped down and hung low over the grass. I really had no one to blame but myself for this mess. I'd allowed my curiosity to get the best of me. I'd taken actions I couldn't undo. And what was worse, I didn't want to. I'd call that self-sabotage.
You're a glutton for punishment, Chiquita.
Cuff lifted his leg on a lamppost. We both alerted to the sound of crunching gravel. I glanced up and noticed an oncoming jogger. Maybe he'll just sprint by us. I crossed my fingers. I'm not in the mood for small talk. Cuff backed up against my legs, snarling,
"Stranger danger!"
I eyed the jogger approaching as I made preliminary notes. Aviator sunglasses, ball cap pulled down low, broad shoulders, tan skin, nice legs. Suddenly, fear strapped me to the bench, my arms prickling. What if he was the driver of the Black Buick?
Cuff up!
The jogger was too close for me to make a break for it. Cuff jumped up on the bench beside me, his trembling lips pulled back, exposing tiny, needle-sharp fangs. The concealed man stopped in front of me directly and lifted his ball cap. Officer Jackson.
Grr, just what I needed.
He pulled out his earbuds, sweat glistening on his golden skin. His black athletic shirt stretched tight across his pecs and biceps.
Sup, Buttercup?
He removed his sunglasses, giving me a crooked smile. He waved to Cuff. Hey, little dude.
What are you calling little?
Cuff grumbled a low, throaty growl. Glaring at Jackson, I scratched Cuff between the ears. He climbed up on my lap, positioning himself between the officer and me. Cuff doesn't like chauvinistic men. And, anyway, shouldn't you be working? Supposed to be my day off, but they canceled all days off for the time being. Getting a run in before I have to head back to the station. He stretched his hands over his head,
reaching for the sky and bent over, touching the ground, palms flat on the sidewalk. He did this little moaning thing, causing my cheeks to flush.
"Are you drooling, Chiquita?"
I snapped my jaw shut and tried not to gawk at his flexibility and the way his shirt revealed bulging taut muscles. Thank goodness his eyes were on the ground and not witnessing my pathetic moment of weakness.
"Well, carry on,"
I said, brushing my hand as if swatting at a fly. "Day off for you?" He popped back up, catching me staring. Since when were we two on a chit-chat level? I pursed my lips. "I am not in the mood, officer." I set Cuff on the ground and jumped up, pushing past Officer Jackson. He reached out, his damp hand gently clutching my arm. "Hey, hold up a sec."
"What?"
I said, yanking my arm away from his touch, as if the mere contact of his skin burned me. I wheeled around, facing him head on.
"Don't you think that you have done enough damage?"
Not that I really wanted an answer, but I waited for his reply anyway. He shifted his weight from one foot to the other, his face softening slightly.
I wanted to apologize for getting Nick in heat at work. He's a decent squad leader. I don't agree with the way he..."
"You son of a gun," I said, stepping toward him. "You're sorry? Really? Because the chief gave him a week off for you ratting me out, as if he's responsible for my actions. Not to mention that he kicked my butt out of the house. I had to move back in with my father. Are you happy?"
My shrill voice echoed in the trees. I could have reached out and choked him.
"Yeah, what the lady said."
Cuff's growling rattled through his teeth. Jackson removed his baseball cap as if contemplating his next move. At first, I thought I'd stunned him silent, but then he spoke. Not my lucky day.
"I didn't know Becker would take it that far. Look, I said I'm sorry. I called Nick the other night after you left the shop and tried..."
"Please stop. I don't want to hear it."
I recalled seeing Jackson on the phone in what seemed to be a heated discussion as I pulled out of the back lot that night. Had he been arguing with Nick? Over me? And why?
"Well, it didn't matter now." "You're a real piece of work," I pointed at his chest. "Just back off. Stay out of my business and leave me alone."
I spun on my heels and marched away.
"For what it's worth, I said I'm sorry," he called behind me.
"Talk to the butt, buddy,"
Cuff growled, trailing after me.
Oh, the nerve of that guy. He had me so flustered.
And I forgot all about mentioning Mr. Peters looking for his hammer behind the shop. As I stomped off toward my car, I fished around in my pockets for my keys. Oh, no. Peering through the driver's window confirmed my suspicion. The keys dangled from the ignition. I must have gotten out and, for some strange reason, hit the door lock button. Either that or the bug was out to get me. And my purse, along with the spare key and my cell phone, sat in the passenger seat. It was 10 blocks to the shop. I glanced down at my boots, an unlikely pair of hiking shoes, and kicked the car with all my might, putting a good-sized dent in the door panel. "Stupid, stupid car." Cuff lifted his leg on the front tire.
"Don't blame the car, Chiquita."
"For just 5 seconds, could you keep your muzzle shut and let me think?"
I turned on Cuff, fists clenched.
"Please."
"A bad temper will get you nowhere."
To keep from squeezing the life out of him, I folded my arms against the driver's side window, burying my head, and took in deep, cleansing breaths. I stayed like that for several minutes, attempting to avoid the asthma attack I felt coming on. My lungs tightened, and a slight rattle and wheeze started. I stared in the window at my purse, which housed my inhaler. Could things get any worse? I felt the heat of his gaze burning straight through the back of me. I struggled to inhale.
Need my inhaler, and it's locked inside.
My lungs whined with each breath.
"Here, let me see if I can try,"
Jackson said from close behind me. Too close. I backed away from the car. The sight of him caused my breath to hitch, worse than any asthma attack. He had slipped into black leather bike pants and boots. No shirt. A black geometric tribal pattern tattoo ran up his right shoulder and disappeared somewhere on his back.
Jeez freaking Louise. The man should have his own calendar. I tore my eyes from him and saw a motorcycle leaning on its kickstand a few parking spaces over. I guessed I missed seeing it parked there earlier. My attention to details needed some fine-tuning. Jackson walked over to his bike and sifted through the saddlebag, producing a Slim Jim. He glanced up, the hint of a sexy grin tugging at the corner of his mouth. Darn you to hell and back twice. He knew exactly what he was doing to me. You look like you could use some chocolate. He headed back over to the bug and tossed me a snack-sized Snickers bar. Here, I had this stashed in my cooler pack. I caught it. In my unfortunate, stress-driven moment, I unwrapped the chocolate and popped the entire thing into my mouth, savoring the rich, chocolatey goodness. It wasn't pie, but it would do in a pinch. I didn't want Jackson's help, but I really didn't have a choice. I needed it. Observing from the curb, I couldn't help but gape at the bulging biceps and the rippling back muscles as he worked. The tribal tattoo I'd seen earlier stretched over his shoulder and onto his shoulder blade.
He's quite the strapping fella, Chiquita.
Well, you can say that again.
He's quite the...
Shh! I gave Cup a soft thump with the toe of my boot. Jackson slid the flat metal tool between the door and the window, listening with his ear pressed up against the glass.
Sometimes, if you tap it just in the right spot... He gazed up toward the sky, running the Slim Jim along the inside of the door.
Come on, darling.
I heard the humor in his voice, and my face flushed at his innuendo. I really should tell him to leave. But no, I stood there, blushing, enjoying the damsel in distress moment. I ought to be ashamed of myself. A racking wheeze choked me back to reality.
Never mind, I said, coughing. I'll just call my dad for help.
I heard a small thump, and then he pulled my car door open. No need. I got it. A devilish grin spread across his face as he backed up, allowing me access. Cars are a lot like women. Give them a little attention, and they'll open up. He winked, folding his arms across his chest. And you're welcome.
Thanks.
Shaking my head, I rolled my eyes at his arrogance and chided myself for any delight from the moment earlier. Cuff squeezed past me, hopping in, and leaped over the center console to the passenger seat. I reached in and snatched my inhaler from the purse and took two puffs. Relief washed over me.
Glad to help, he said from behind.
I collapsed against the driver's seat, turning my head to see Jackson sauntering off towards his motorcycle.
This changes nothing, you know, I yelled after him.
Careful, Chiquita. Your nose is growing.
Cuff cocked his head, watching me. Jackson turned around. He filled out those leather pants perfectly.
Are you trying to convince me or yourself?
Ugh, you are infuriating, I said.
And have I mentioned that I like those boots? He asked.
I know you dig the whole camo thing, I said.
That I do.
He pulled a plain white t-shirt over his head and then slipped on a black leather jacket. A dumbstruck fool, I sat ogling him, too stunned to move or say anything. Frustrated beyond belief, I wanted to pull my hair out by the roots.
Close your mouth, Chiquita. You are drooling.
Oh, be quiet, I snapped at Cuff.
Officer Jackson saluted me, mounting his bike and lifted a shiny black helmet off the handlebar.
Who knows? Maybe this will be a new beginning for us.
Before I could scream in an obscene reply, the bike engine roared to life. He pulled the helmet over his head, revved the engine, and drove out of the parking lot. I reached over and slammed my door closed. My hands trembled as I fumbled with the keys and turned the ignition over. I wished I'd never seen him today. But then again, if I hadn't, I'd be stranded right now. I sat there, car idling and Cuff straddling my lap, panting. I closed my eyes, allowing the blast of cool air from the vents to lower my temperature a few degrees. Officer Jackson had a lot of nerve. I put the car in gear and drove out of the parking lot, heading toward the shop. My cell phone rang along the way. I didn't recognize the number. Maybe a customer? I pushed the call answer button on my steering wheel. Hello? Silence. Hello?
I'm watching you.
A deep voice barked over my car speakers, and then the call disconnected. The call ended so abruptly, I didn't get the chance to detect whether I even recognized the voice.
Chiquita, we have got some trouble on our paws.
You think? I swung a hard left and straight into the lot behind the shop. My eyes roamed the quiet alley, but there wasn't a soul in sight. A few other cars dotted the lot, belonging to neighboring businesses. We scrambled out of the bug and hightailed it out the back door, locking it behind us. Daniel was pacing the front lobby when we returned, a worried expression plaguing his handsome face. What's wrong now? I asked. Guess this wasn't a good time to tell him about the threatening phone call I'd had the pleasure of taking. More cancellations, that's what's wrong. Daniel was in panic mode. What were we thinking? Trying for business as usual at a murder scene? I shrugged. My life had become a series of unfortunate events. I don't know, but can we please go get pie now? In Orsak's Cafe, Daniel and I chose a round table near the front window. We placed our order of 2 coffees and 2 slices of Dutch apple pie. I set my bag in my lap and opened the flap so Cuff could stick his nose out. Orsak's wasn't exactly dog-friendly, but the staff didn't mind as long as he stayed inside my purse. Narrowing his eyes, Daniel studied me. What are you staring at? Do I have something on my face? You're acting strange, he said. What do you mean? Although strange was a good way to describe the way I'd been feeling lately. Normal Steely would be in a frenzy trying to figure out how to deal with the onslaught of cancellations, but you don't seem the slightest bit worried. Look, I realize that you found Mrs. Shermack's body and that you're upset about the whole Nick thing, but you seem, well, extra distracted. What else is going on with you? Well, he knew me all too well. The waitress brought our coffee and plates of warm apple yumminess. I leaned in, inhaling coffee perfection, unable to wait. I burned my tongue with the first scorching sip. I looked up at Daniel, his blue eyes boring into mine. Listen, we'll deal with the cancellations, but first, I exhaled with a sigh. It was confession time. Remember the black car from the other night near the burn site? Daniel glanced out the window, his eyes nearly popping out of his head. You mean the one right there? He nodded. I swiveled in my chair, disturbing Cuff, who let out a big yip. Parked at the curb in front of the cafe, the Buick's ominous tinted windows stared back at us. Cuff wiggled, poking his head out. He snarled. I attempted to quiet him by stroking the top of his head. Peering hard, trying to get a glimpse of the driver, I whispered, "Yes, that would be the one." The hair on my arms and neck stood on end as I imagined the devilish grin mocking at me from the other side of the dark glass. The car crept by the cafe slowly, my eyes following it until it disappeared out of sight. "What do you think it's up to?" Daniel asked. "Stalking me." I knew it, and the call I'd gotten earlier had to be from the driver, for sure.
"Give the girl a prize, folks,"
Cuff mumbled inside my head. "Well, now you just sound paranoid," he said, munching a bite of pie. I peeled my eyes away from the window and buried my face in my hands.
No, he's following me all right, I mumbled through my fingers.
"Why?"
"Remember the tan car? It had to be Flora's. She must have gotten there before us to do some digging around. Unfortunately, the killer caught her. Whoever is driving that black car is the one who killed her, and most likely the same person who killed Samson and robbed the bank."
Boy, did it feel good to get that information off my chest.
Daniel didn't say a word. "After I found her body."
"We,"
Cuff added. I rolled my eyes. "After we found her body in the shop, and I gave my statement to Officer Jackson, I saw the Buick, and I followed it all the way to her house. The driver knows where I live. I mean, where I lived." I swallowed hard. Moving out of Nick's hadn't sunk in yet. I glanced around to make sure that no one was listening. Daniel shook his head.
"Are you crazy? You followed a man you suspect murdered not one, but 2 people? Do you have a death wish?"
Why are you just now getting around to telling me?
Because I was so distraught.
He held up a hand to quiet me. Forget it. Have you told this to the authorities? Please say you have.
Well, some of it.
That's it. Let's go. We're going down to the station right now. You're telling the cops everything. Daniel reached into his pocket, pulled out a $10 bill, and slapped it on the table. He tugged me out of my chair and marched me right out of Orsak's.
He is treating me like a 5-year-old, I thought.
If the boots fit, Chiquita.
I ignored Cuff's insult as Daniel led me down the sidewalk. I had a hunch this big confession was not going to end well.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Are you curious about what happens next? Be sure to hit subscribe and tune in next Tuesday to find out. If you're enjoying the Cat Clayton Mysteries podcast, I would appreciate if you would rate and review so that other listeners can discover the podcast as well. Thank you for listening. Until next week, stay happy and sleuth on, my friends.